Welcome to this week's episode of Thriving Through Menopause with me, Clarissa. Today we're going to have a fantastic conversation with my guest, Dr. Peter Kozlowski, and we're going to be talking about toxins because they play a huge role in our body and how our body goes through menopause, in how our hormones actually behave. And you, Peter, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And you are a functional medicine practitioner, and you are also a traditionally trained clinician. You based in the States, and you have got a new book out called Get the Funk Out, Balance Your Hormones and Detox. Did I get that right?
You did. You did.
Yeah. And it came out just a couple of weeks ago, but I'm really super interested in homing down on the relationship between hormones, toxins, and what it's doing to the body, to what women are experiencing in terms of symptoms. So maybe a place to start is, you know, what is the relationship between hormones and toxins?
Yeah, absolutely. A brief kind of summation of functional medicine versus traditional medicine, because this kind of gets into why I got into the subject of toxins affecting hormones, is that as a functional medicine doctor, I was taught to look for the underlying cause of disease. So it's very easy to diagnose hormone imbalances. I think any practitioner or people are experiencing it. Men with low testosterone, women with estrogen, progesterone imbalances. Thyroid disease is the most common disease. Autoimmune disease, it's the most common thing that family practice doctors see. Then there's the adrenal glands and adrenal fatigue. So we know about all these hormone imbalances, but when I diagnose those in my patients, they always want to know why. And I believe, and the argument I make in my book is that it is our toxic environment. Now, I don't think that our toxic environment is just affecting our hormones, because I work with patients with everything from autism to dementia and everything in between. So toxins are playing a role in any kind of conditions, but specifically there's a connection with hormones. And so we're seeing all these hormonal imbalances over the last 40, 50 years really increase, and everything has stayed pretty much consistent besides one thing, and that's what we're doing to our environment, right? And it, you know, whether you want to talk about factories or you want to talk about our food supply, they've been messing with all of those things for a long time now. It started with the hybridization of wheat 50 years ago in America, in the States. Over 90% of soy and corn are genetically modified. And so for people that don't really know what that means that they basically are changing the protein structure of these plants and animals to get more of it to grow. Well, yeah. That they started doing that 50 years ago, but the one thing that they didn't do is see how that would affect human beings, right? We're the ones eating the stuff that doesn't look like it used to. And we're the ones being affected, but nobody ever talked about that. That was never considered. And every year there's more and more toxins being put out. Every year they're picking which food to change next, whether it's, you know, now with farm fish and salmon and things like that, or what fruits and vegetables they can modify. So we keep changing what our bodies are eating, breathing, drinking, and those toxins, and I'll explain what detox is and how it works and how toxins work, but those are getting into our bodies. And if our bodies don't eliminate them, that's what detox is eliminating toxins, they get stored. And so they'll store in our brain. They'll store in our immune system cells. One of their favorite places to be stored is the thyroid. Dr. Susan Blum, who came much before me, who was one of my mentors, she was one of the original functional medicine doctors, and she has a couple books out, but she was a thyroid specialist, and she described the thyroid to me as a sponge for all the stuff we're being exposed to. And what is Hashimoto's? Hashimoto's is when your immune system has identified your thyroid as an invader. So your immune system starts attacking your thyroid. Well, wouldn't it make sense that if your thyroid is full of all these environmental toxins, that your immune system is actually doing the right thing by trying to get rid of it because you don't want all those toxins? Well, that's not good because then you end up with a low thyroid.
So,
go ahead.
Very, very common. I mean, we see that really on the rise with women in midlife, just how much they're being diagnosed with Hashimoto's, how many women have overactive thyroids, underactive thyroids, and that is just exacerbating the symptoms of menopause tremendously. Exactly.
So when the toxins don't get detoxed, they store. And so they can store in your testes, in your ovaries, in your thyroid, your adrenal glands, and just everywhere all over. I mean, we're focusing on hormones, but they can go anywhere. So I think when I say toxins, so I do mean things like our food and gluten and soy and corn. And then you get into all the herbicides, pesticides, glyphosate is something that I write about in the book, that these toxins are damaging our cells. And so when those are the type of toxins we're talking about, and the most common ones that I work with are heavy metals, lead, mercury, mold toxicity.
Oh, yes.
And so that's actually one of the most common things that I treat. And then a lot of the non-specific stuff, which is kind of called the other toxins. So that's your bath and beauty products. That is your deodorant. That's your cleaning products. That's the plastic bottles that your kid drinks out of. There's the plastic bottles that you get at the gas station to drink out of. There's the type of cookware that you use. There's your dog toys, all of that stuff. These all have chemicals in it. And so those toxins get into our body and eventually they can lead to disease. So that's what I say when I mean toxins. Those are the type of things I'm talking about. It's in your air, it's in your water, it's in your food.
And we don't get to choose so easily that we have them in our life or not, because some of them are, as you say, they're in the environment where we live. We may be able to choose our food to a certain extent, but our water comes, well, not mine, because I'm actually on a well, but that's a different thing. But you know, for a lot of people, we get the mains water. And fluoridation is huge in the United States, as well as just pumping things into the water indiscriminately.
One of the most disturbing things that I learned over the years is I had a family that brought in their 7-year-old boy for OCD behaviors, obsessive compulsive disorders. And this family was extremely strict about their diet. Like, they basically followed an autoimmune protocol, which I don't know if you guys ever talked about on the podcast, but it's basically you're cutting out any kind of potentially harming food, which is gluten, dairy, soy, corn, nuts, seeds, eggs, sugar. Like, it's the strictest diet, in my opinion. And this little boy, that's the only thing he had ever followed, was eating this diet. And I said to him, I was like, well, what if you're at like a birthday party and somebody has like cake or cheeseburgers? He's like, no way, I would eat broccoli. So I was just kind of blown away. But we ended up, when somebody comes to me with neurologic issues, just like if somebody comes to me with hormonal issues, one of the first areas I want to look is their toxic levels. And so I did heavy metal testing on him and he came back like 700 times normal, the levels of cesium and thallium. And I had been seeing cesium and thallium elevated in a lot of my patients, but I had never really learned too much about it, where it was coming from, why, if it was a problem. So I called the lab and I consulted with one of the medical directors at the lab. And I was like, why are these little boys' levels so high? Well, cesium and thallium are radioactive compounds that are used in the oil industry. And when they get oil out of the ground, they use water mixed with cesium and thallium. And then this water is left over. Well, guess who's buying this water because they don't want to waste it? farms specifically, like California farms, that's where a lot of the studies are, that are experiencing droughts. And so farms are using oil water to water their crops. But, and this gets to what you kind of said, that, you know, we try to do our best, but it's a little bit out of our control. Well, farms can still be called organic if they're using oil water.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So this, what I started seeing is my patients, the more basically vegetables and fruit someone's eating, the higher their cesium and thallium levels are. So it just makes you want to go crazy because, you know, people are doing everything they can. And yet it's still, you know, there's still, these toxins are still everywhere. So that's an example of something that kind of like shocked and scared me, just like, wow, like we're really not safe anywhere. But all we can do is our best. And so that's what my book is about, is the first step in any kind of, like, when you talk about toxins, is to identify and stop exposure. So most of us are not aware, right? And that's what I'm trying to create with writing this book. And then with the patients I work with is like, hey, your environment is really toxic and there's a lot you can do to start cleaning it up. In the introduction of the book, I go through my wife's morning routine, which starts with when she goes to bed to the time she like goes out for the day. And there's studies that say that the average woman is exposed to over 100 toxins before leaving the house. And that's just from like your regular stuff. I mean, the examples I give in the book is like, she's drying her hair, she's putting on mascara, she's eating a smoothie with almond milk and, you know, supposedly organic fruit. And the dog toys and the plastic. And it's people. And the worst part about toxins is you don't know you're being exposed. So people don't get symptoms, right? You could have lead in your water. It would have to be extremely high levels for someone to get sick acutely, right? Yes. Like glyphosate is another thing I talk about, which is the main component of Roundup. We're all being exposed to it every day, but none of us know. You don't feel it. Same thing with mold, and mold is something we can dive into if you want, but mold, 99% of families that I work with, they have no clue that there's even mold in their house. So that's, I think there's so many things about the toxin discussion that are scary, but the fact that we don't know it, that you have to kind of do your own research, do your own homework. And one of my favorite resources that's free that I share a couple times in the book is the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. A lot of people are familiar with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So the Dirty Dozen are the 12 fruits and vegetables that are the most toxic. And then the Clean 15 are the ones that are the cleanest. Well, a lot of people have heard of those lists, but most people don't know it's coming from Environmental Working Group. Well, you can go on EWG.org and start just cleaning up your house. You can type in your cleaning products. You can type in your food. You can type in your shampoo, and you'll get a toxicity rating. That's an amazing resource to start, you know, identifying this stuff.
Yeah, and definitely.
For me, I rely on testing. And so we can talk about, you know, I do talk in the book quite a bit about the different types of tests that are offered. But it's just hard. And the analogy I love when it comes to functional medicine or when it comes to toxins is that we're all born with a bucket, and we fill that bucket with stress. We fill it with sugar. We fill it with trauma and alcohol and drugs and relationships, and then our gut dysbiosis issues, SIBO, food sensitivities. Those are all things I got into in my first book. And then also though, lead, mold, mercury, glyphosate, mold, all of these other things. And eventually that bucket overflows into disease. And so what my patient population is people that are kind of at their last straw. They've tried 10 different doctors. They've been to the university hospitals. They've been to Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. And then it's just like, okay, well, I'm out of options, so let me try functional medicine. And so that's typically what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But that,
yeah.
It, we shouldn't wait that long. We, you know, my patient population should be 99% of people that come to me should be healthy, and they should be coming because they want to stay that way. And that to me, like something like heavy metals, are the most common toxin that, I find in people. In my opinion, heavy metal testing, we should start that from like the age of three and or five and every couple years. And because I'm diagnosing people with heavy metals, whether they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And again, always the first question is, well, when did it get here? At that point, I can't prove it to anyone when it got there, because we're doing our first test when someone is 60 years old. So that they could have been there for 60 years and we have no clue. So my hope one day for the world is that this becomes standard of care. That we're testing these toxins early on so we could prevent these issues instead of trying to then reverse them, which is what we're really trying to do.
Yeah, indeed. And I think it's this raising of awareness that is so important, so that when, as you said, we go to those lists and when we're going around our house, going around the supermarket, we're going, okay, what can I not buy and what can I choose instead, which is a better option? And there are alternatives out there, but we have to know about them. We have to know what to change. But let's
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talk a little bit about hormones here, because obviously that's very relevant to these listeners. Some of these, or many of these toxins, should I say, are hormone disruptors, aren't they?
Yeah. So there's a specific subclass of these toxins that mimic estrogen. And so what that means is, and these are things that are in like sunscreen, chlorine, your traditional birth control pills, plastics, dry cleaning, and they mimic estrogen. So you take your clothes to the dry cleaner, you bring them home, you put them on to go out for the day, and you're absorbing these toxins through your skin that, once they get into your bloodstream, mimic estrogen. So that means that they will bind to estrogen receptors and turn on estrogen receptors as if your body was making estrogen, but it's really just like the shirt that you're wearing that you just picked up from the dry cleaner, or the glass of water that you had, or the sunscreen that you put on to go out in the sun. Well, there's no warning on a sunscreen that says like, hey, if you apply this all over your skin, this is going to go bind and turn on all your estrogen receptors and make your body think you're estrogen dominant. So there's the specific ones to estrogen, but in general, toxins cause disease by causing cell damage. They basically, I go through it in the book, but they basically cause cell death, and they will kill off the hormones. They will affect the way that the glands that make the hormones work. And so that's the connection as to why the discussion of toxins is so important when you're talking about hormones. Because they can do multiple things. They could bind receptors, but they can also just kill the hormones that you should be making naturally. So that's the connection in how it's connected to hormones.
Yeah. So they're impacting every hormone producing gland in the body, whether that's the pancreas, the adrenals, whether, you know, even your own fat cells, of course, are hormone producing. So naturally, that's a huge impact on the balance of how our body is functioning.
And that comment that you just made, actually, I kind of want to brings me to my most important thing to understand about these toxins. And that is how they get into our body and how they stay there and how we get rid of them. And so you said that, you know, the fat cells can make hormones. Well, these toxins that we're talking about, whether it's lead or mercury or glyphosate, or the dry cleaning chemicals or memory foam mattress chemicals, they are fat soluble. So what that means is when they get into our body, they get stored in our fat. So I walk this through in the book, but let's say, you know, our first defense mechanisms to keep the toxins out are our skin, our gut, and our lungs. So we're eating, drinking these toxins. We're putting them on our bodies. We're breathing them in. So our lungs have basically cilia, these little cells that try to push stuff out. We create mucus in our lungs to push things out so that lungs try to trap the toxins. Your skin is very thick. There's three layers of cells of your skin. So your skin is trying to protect the toxins from getting in. And then your gut, which is one of my favorite things to talk about, and that's what my first book was about. Your gut, one of the most important things I try to teach people about their gut is that the inside of the gut is actually outside of your body. So when you eat a toxin, if your gut is healthy, you will poop that toxin out and you won't absorb it. But if you have what people are familiar with and what is called leaky gut, then any toxin that you're eating can go into your blood. So once a toxin crosses through the blood, through the gut, through the lungs, through the skin, it will store in your fat tissues or any other organs that it passing by, right? Well, lucky for us, the first place that our body sends anything that crosses through those paths is to the liver. And the liver is famous as your detox organ. Well, what your liver does to these toxins is make them water soluble. So the liver converts those toxins through a two-phase process, which is dependent on all types of vitamins and minerals. And I explain all the different reactions and I explain all the different vitamins and minerals you need for those reactions to function in the book. But so your liver takes these toxins and makes them water soluble. When they're water soluble, you then pee, poop, and sweat them out, right? And so that's how toxins can get in. That's what our body does to them. But what's happening is that we're being exposed to way more than we can handle, right? And so our detox capacity hasn't changed, but what has changed is our environment has become more toxic. Yeah. So 50 years ago, let's say I was exposed to 10 toxins a day, my body can eliminate them because I could get rid of 100 toxins a day. Well, fast forward 50 years later, well, now I went from being exposed to 10 toxins to 10,000. Well, the liver can't keep up, right? Yeah. So then I'm going to store 9,990 toxins every day. And I'm not going to know it because there's no symptoms. I don't taste them. I don't feel them. And they're going to build up. And the day I'll know that I have a toxin issue is usually after I've been diagnosed with lupus or Hashimoto's or low testosterone or estrogen dominance, and I've been on one or two or five medications, and then I'm like, you know, these meds aren't working. So what is my last option? Well, let me look at functional medicine because I'm out of options.
Yes.
And so that's where the importance, I think, is of just creating awareness, starting to clean up your environment and testing if you can to basically prevent these issues. So that I just, because they get stored in our fat as well as all over our body, and then those fat cells get more inflamed, and then we eat more sugar and create more fat cells, which get full with more toxins. And then they're literally, like you said, making hormones, right?
Yes.
And so,
yes.
What would cause a cell to act inappropriately? Well, feeding it with a bunch of sugar and unhealthy fat, or loading it up with toxins is going to make, you know, cells start acting strange. And then again, that process goes on for some people for 3 months, for some people for 40 years before they actually get diagnosed with a problem.
Yes. Yes. And so really you have the double whammy of toxins, but also a lifestyle, which is a big part of functional medicine too, that we have very unhealthy lifestyles that then allow the toxins to have, if I've understood right, an even bigger impact than if we had a better kind of lifestyle that supported our liver, supported our gut microbiome.
Exactly. So the problems all compound on each other. And then even something I talk about in the chapter about how detox works is the most common condition that I see in women pre-menopause is estrogen dominance. And that's when there's either too much estrogen, but usually not enough progesterone. Well, you need progesterone to actually detox properly. It helps activate the liver. So again, the problem is compounding itself. It's, you know, you got toxic. Now your hormones are screwed up. Well, now your hormones are screwed up. Then now you can't get rid of the new toxins that you're being exposed to. So then your hormones get more damaged, and it's all connected with each other.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing with functional medicine, is to really look at the individual and look at the connections. And I don't want to paint just doom and gloom, because we have lots of success. So, you know, we can very successfully detox someone, whether it's heavy metals like lead or mercury, whether it's mold, or whether it's glyphosate levels, whether it's the buildup of stuff from the bath and beauty products or cleaning products. Detox can take anywhere from 3 months to a few years. It depends on how high the levels are. It depends on how committed someone can stay to whatever protocol we're using to detox. But the good news is that, you know, you don't have to worry that you can reverse toxins. Whether you can reverse the issues that the toxins cause, like hormonal imbalances, that can be tough. I mean, that's where we do also sometimes need to rely on taking hormones like thyroid or estrogen or progesterone or yes. testosterone, because sometimes the damage has been done, right? And so someone that's exposed to toxins, we can get them out, but we can never guarantee it's going to reverse the hormonal imbalance. But we can at least, at the worst, I always say, best case scenario is that we reverse your condition. Worst case scenario is that we can prevent things from getting worse, right? So even if we can't reverse the hormonal imbalance, by detoxing you, we can prevent dementia and osteoporosis and high blood pressure and heart disease, yes. et cetera.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that gives a lot of hope to people, because they're listening to this, they think, oh my gosh, all this is going on in my environment, I can't do anything. But sort of in the basic protocol, how would it work if somebody came to you, Dr. Koz, and they were then obviously experiencing the symptoms of Hashimoto's, they were experiencing estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. Where do they begin this process with you?
It starts with 42 pages of intake paperwork. So a patient gets emailed a couple PDF documents that are, I think, total over 40 pages. And so they fill that out before the visit. And it's basically your medical history from the time before you were born to where you're at now. And it includes everything about your mental, emotional, spiritual health, hormonal issues, childhood, diet, stress, exercise, all of it. And so I review that before someone comes in. And so I have usually a pretty good idea of what's going on, but then frequently through a conversation, you know, sometimes other things come out or we realize that there's other goals that somebody didn't write down. So we will typically spend an hour and a half together talking, which a lot of my initial visit is education. It's explaining what the gut is, how the gut works, how the gut's connected to toxins. What are toxins? What is detox? How is that connected to hormones? So that's where I've written my two books to, it's basically like an initial visit with me, but on paper, to get that education piece, because for a lot of people it's, you know, they don't know much about this world. So I think our greatest job as practitioners is to teach. So that's what I try to do in my books. So typically we'll do that initial visit and then we'll decide what lab testing to order. So I work very objectively. When it comes to heavy metals, I do pre and post chelation testing, which I explain in the book and we can talk about if you want. For mold, I do mycotoxin testing. So that's urinary levels of mold mycotoxins. I do urine testing for glyphosate. We can test some of these non-specific chemicals that are like in dry cleaning. And another huge one I find is they cover all of our furniture in flame retardants. Because yes. If your house burns, they don't want your furniture to burn as fast. Well, you're spending all this time sitting on these furniture and just absorbing all these flame retardants. A couple of studies I cite in the book, they found over 80 different chemicals in memory foam mattresses. So they're just everywhere, but we can put objective values. So we do that. That's how an initial visit would start, is deciding what testing to do. Do we, I don't need to hear anything in anyone's history to test them for heavy metals. So if there was just one functional medicine lab that I could run, it would be heavy metal test, more so than even the gut. And that's what people kind of knew me for, is gut health, because that was my first book. But I would actually start with heavy metals if I didn't know anything about someone. So there's nothing in your history. I think we should all be tested for heavy metals. Mold, my screening question is always, do you live in or have you ever lived in a building that had water damage? Water damage yeah. equals mold.
Yes.
And because when I learned pretty quickly that when you ask people, have you been exposed to mold? Almost 100% say no, I was definitely not. And then we find huge levels in their bodies. And then we find out that there was water damage. And so to me, what I've learned and what I've seen over the years is water damage equals mold. So if you have ever lived in a building that had water damage or worked in one, I would test you for mold. And I've seen more and more examples of patients, people that are like, I live in a brand new construction. I've been here for 20 years and we've never had water. But when I was a little kid, my parents' basement used to flood all the time. And we test them and they still have huge levels. And we all detox very differently. So I can't tell you, you know, if you know your exposure was heavy for 3 years, but now it's been 10 years since you were exposed, we might test you and you might be totally negative. We might test you and you might have levels through the roof. So that's where I don't like to guess. And one of my pet peeves, I guess, there's a lot of practitioners online on social media sites selling detox, like buy yeah. these supplements for a 30-day cleanse, buy this 3-month cleanse. And it'll detox you from heavy metals and parasites and mold. And that just drives me crazy because there's so many people that are they're succumbing to this marketing and buying these products and trying to do the right thing. But my opinion is why detox you if you don't have toxins, right? So why spend a few hundred dollars on a 3-month supply of some detox supplement that you don't even know if it's real or not. But also you don't even know if you have toxin levels in you.
No.
So I really, you know, and it's funny that the more convinced someone comes to me that they have a mold toxicity or that they have a heavy metal issue, the less likely it is that they'll test positive for that. So I have people that like know that we detox people from mold, and so they've convinced themselves that they have mold toxicity, and I come to me for detox, and I don't detox them. I test them, and then they'll test negative, but then they'll test positive for a bunch of mercury. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the first chapter of my first book, Unfunk Your Gut, is kind of a funny or comedy type of chapter about why to stay off the internet and how you can convince yourself of so many things quickly. So I did an example of like Googling abdominal pain and how quickly I convinced myself that I had 100 different diagnoses. So don't definitely for people listening that are interested, don't assume right away that you have a lead toxicity or that you have a glyphosate toxicity. You may not, but just do the testing to make sure. Yeah. And another very common thing, since I guess I'm on my soapbox, besides the people selling supplements online just for general detox. The other thing is that genetic testing has become extremely prevalent and accessible and cheap. Mm-hmm. If people, we haven't talked about all these things I talk about in functional medicine. To me, the most important part of health is mental, emotional, spiritual health. Yes. And my first book talks all about the gut brain connection and how you can't heal the gut without working on the mental, emotional, spiritual part. No. In this book, there's an entire chapter about the adrenal glands and how they're affected by mental, emotional, spiritual health. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So the staying off the internet and the genetics.
People
can now order their genetics, right? You do a saliva at home and you get this huge report. And most of those genetics are focused on your detox genes. So there's specific genes that are for detox. And so they can see mutations in these genes. And so if you have a mutation in one of your detox genes, they tell you that you're a poor detoxer and that you need to detox, right?
And then sell you a detox kit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As a believer that mental, emotional, spiritual health is the most important part of health, and I get why, but people come in very, very stressed out and just like in a panic, like, look at my genetics. I don't know I can't detox. I was exposed to mold once. I'm toxic.
Yeah.
But just because you have a gene doesn't mean you express it.
No.
So that's to me why there's no value in genetic testing when it comes to detox, because who cares what your genetics are? Let's care about whether you have toxins, right? Let's say you have perfect detox genes. You could still have huge levels of lead or mercury in your body. I'm still going to detox you. And let's say your genetics, for lack of a better word, suck. Like your detox genetics are not very good. But we test you for mold and we test you for glyphosate and we test you for heavy metals and all of it comes back negative. Well, you just saved yourself the headache of trying to detox something you're not even toxic from.
Exactly.
So two very common things that are out there that if you're online, if you're on social media, that you're probably being marketed that way in regards to, hey, you know, you need to detox, buy these products or test your genetics. What if you can't detox? Yeah. For me, as someone that actively helps people detox every day, those kind of things drive me nuts because there's somebody in the background profiting and making money off of scaring you over something that you may or may not have.
Which is, I think, the same with a lot of the simple hormone tests, because they then are not taking into consideration all these other factors, and they're certainly not taking into consideration the mental, emotional, and spiritual factors in why we are where we are. Yeah, I think we're definitely on the same page there, Dr. Goss. But seeing that, I mean, it's such a huge subject, we could actually talk about it all the time. But I mean, where can listeners learn more about how they can go about this and how they can work with someone like yourself?
Yeah, so everything that we've talked about goes into much deeper depth in my new book, and it's called Get the Funk Out. And I always warn everybody, it's funk spelled with a C, not a K. So Get the Funk Out, and that stands, the funk comes from functional medicine, which is what I do. And my practice before I started writing books, we had a saying that said we put the funk in functional medicine. So that's where the book titles came up from. So Get the Funk Out is all about, we'll explain, there's a chapter about the thyroid, there's a chapter about the adrenals, female hormones, male hormones, the pancreas, what the liver is, what detox is, what heavy metals are, how to test for them, mold, and then your household stuff, along with how to clean up your house. So that's all in my book. And people can get that on Amazon or wherever you get books, it's available to be printed. And my website is doc-koz.com, doc-koz.com. There's links to my books. There's links to reaching out to us. If you know, you're in another country or in a place where you want to work with someone locally, I recommend searching ifm.org. That's the Institute of Functional Medicine, ifm.org. And there's a tab there that says search for a practitioner. And you can type in your zip code or your country and it'll give you the closest practitioners. My big thing that I always try to tell people, if you're using that website, there's an option to select only search for certified practitioners. So in order to be certified in functional medicine, it is extensive testing. So we have to pass board exams. But someone can be listed on the functional medicine website, even if they haven't had the credentialing. So yeah. A lot of my job right now is cleaning up other alternative medicine doctors' messes, I want to say. I was trained by like Dr. Mark Hyman and his clinic. And so I'm very kind of, I guess, snobby when it comes to functional medicine. I believe there's a way to do it. It is a very popular term. So a lot of practitioners that actually really have no clue about functional medicine are calling themselves functional medicine doctors because it brings more business. Yes. So focus on someone who's certified, and also reach out to that clinic, because a lot of practitioners aren't comfortable, even though you've certified in functional medicine, they're not comfortable with gut health, or they're not comfortable with hormones, or they're not comfortable with heavy metals. Mm-hmm. So make sure that the practitioner that you're going to is comfortable with what you want to talk about before you go. But the feedback, so my first book on gut health came out a year ago. This one came out a week ago. The feedback we've gotten, at least from the first book on gut health, is just people that don't end up coming to see me but see other practitioners just feel much more prepared for their visits, that they know what questions to ask, they know what lab tests to ask. In this new book, I go over charts of what thyroid labs to order, how to interpret those thyroid labs, what are optimal levels, how do you do heavy metal testing, how do you do mold testing, what are you looking for? So all of that can help just someone be educated and understand what to look out for, and so they don't get scammed into something where you're being sold some kind of $1,000 detox plan without actual testing. So doc-koz.com, my book, those are places where someone can find, and ifm.org.
Yeah, we will put all those links in the show notes for the listeners so that people can go there. We'll make sure they're on the social media too. And I agree that I think there is a lot of pushing of stuff that is dubious, and a lot of non-qualified practitioners as well. And that's particularly true at the moment in the menopause world, because it's very popular and it is leading people to pay for things that they either don't need or that actually have no efficacy. So I'm very grateful to you, Dr. Koz, for really raising that as a clinician in this space. Is a very, you know, and Dr. Mark Hyman has been somebody whose work I followed in many, many years. So yeah,
right.
Great teacher to have, and his whole ethos. Dr. Koz, thank you for coming. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I would leave with just one point, one last point for someone, for someone that's looking to optimize detox, or what, where's the first step to start? If you can't test, right? If you don't have access right now to testing, well, what can you do? Drink water, half your body weight in ounces in water. So make sure you're hydrating. Make sure you're moving your bowels every day. Poop, pee, sweat is how we detox. So make sure you're moving your bowels every day. If not, work with a gut health doctor. Check out Unfunk Your Gut, my first book. Get your gut health right, because if you're not moving your bowels regularly, you're not eliminating the toxins. And then exercise or sweating. And so we use a lot of infrared sauna when it comes to detox. That's because the infrared rays help kind of actually kill off the toxins along with the sweat. So make sure you're peeing, pooping, and sweating. It's, and then getting sleep, because sleep is when our bodies are restoring. All day long, you're being exposed. And then at night, is when you're restoring. So, you know, there's very, very basic steps in that someone can take, which is sleep, exercise, move around, eat well, drink well, move your bowels. Yeah. And that's the best way to start detoxing.
Yep. And as a Chinese medicine practitioner, that's exactly what they've been saying in China for about 3,000 years. So I think we can marry modern medicine with ancient wisdom really well there. Yeah, there's even a whole body clock for the day that lays out exactly what you should be doing. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So Dr. Koz, thank you for coming on the show and sharing, I mean, a very small snippet of the work you're doing and this whole area, but it is so important for us to remember that this is a huge influencer in our perimenopause and menopause journeys. Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.